You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Sacramento region is growing. Probably no surprise to you, the Greater Sacramento Economic Council actually has some numbers and reports that it's the fastest growing metro area in the state between 2016 and 2021, and is expected to see even more growth over the next 5 years. A lifeblood of our region is the American River Basin. A watershed spans over 3,600 square miles and provides water to millions of people from Sacramento to Placer and El Dorado counties, as well as Sierra Foothill communities. But a new report released by the Bureau of Reclamation shows that this beloved basin is threatened by climate change. Increased temperatures, a shrinking snowpack, coupled with extreme variability of rain or lack thereof, will increase that dramatic pendulum swings of severe drought and flooding. We're going to spend some time learning more about the challenges of balancing water demands with an uncertain future. Joining us is Gary Bardini, Director of Planning with the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency, and Kenneth Payne, General Manager of the El Dorado Water Agency. Ken and Gary, welcome to Insight. Good morning.
Good morning, Vicky.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Ken, I want to start with you. You know, as we just mentioned, the American River Basin is beloved. It's also expansive. It stretches east to Sacramento through Gold Country all the way to the western ridges of the Sierra surrounding Tahoe. Can you provide us, just help us visualize better how large and really just how vital this watershed is for the millions of people who depend on it?
Well, the watershed itself, you mentioned it's 3,600 square miles, and it's pretty diverse in its terrain. So you're starting up in the Sierra Nevadas, where there's a lot of forest, so you have a lot of forest. And as you come down the hill towards the Sacramento River at the other end of the basin, you get into transitions of rural agricultural into the urbanized areas of El Dorado Hills, Folsom, and then all the way down into the city of Sacramento. So we have quite a diverse area that we had to study as part of this market and how things would change or how the impacts from climate change would impact each of these types of areas. So
this study was described by a regional water agency manager as one of the most sophisticated evaluations of climate change impacts on water supplies in California to date. What knowledge was gained from this study that wasn't as clear before, Ken?
Well, we ended up integrating about a half a dozen different models, and a lot of it was new models. And using these models and validating some of the results really took a lot of work with a lot of scientists. I can tell you it was interesting, because a lot of these scientists went over my head a lot of times when they were talking about some of their empirical formulas that we were using and how to validate it. But what really came out of it really was when we started seeing the results and validating it with some of the agricultural community of what they were experiencing, some of the urbanized managers downstream. The sophistication of the use of these models had never been done, where we integrate not only the climate change models, the temperature changes, but it was the integration of surface water, groundwater modeling, and then adding that to that, the integration of the flood modeling. So it was the first time they are usually done independently. We did this as a comprehensive integrated method, which is why it took quite a bit of time. It was the first study of this kind that was done in California like this.
Right, because it's not like these regions or even these needs exist in vacuums, right? I mean, they're all interconnected.
Right. Oh, very much, yeah. We're within one watershed, and so you look at what happens for if, the temperature changes are even close to being correct from the drier soils up in the forest, and we're seeing that now, all the way down to the urbanized areas of people are going to have to live it a little bit differently on how they landscape their homes and use water internally. So, yeah, it's very diverse. So,
Gary, you're with the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency. What stood out to you about these findings?
Well, it really kind of continued the show, looking in the future, that the trend that we're already seeing, that we're seeing more of our runoff come earlier in the season. So typically, the snowmelt period is generally in the April through July period. And what we're seeing is a trend looking in currently that we see a little bit more of that runoff over the average coming in earlier. And, historically, what that means then is that we're seeing the runoff come during the flood operation season more. So I think how we, you know, continue to do that today, adjust to that, and of course, how do we have to address that in the future?
Yeah. What do these findings mean for the region and the area that you oversee with the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency?
Well, you know, right now, Sacramento, area has been doing an aggressive improvement program for flood protection. And, you know, over the last, currently in the last 20 years, you know, about $5 billion in investment has been done with federal, state, and local funds to improve the regional flood control. However, looking at the report and seeing the future climate, we can't stop on those laurels. And so we're looking at a number of other things to continue to improve flood protection in the region to address the climate uncertainty that this report highlights.
Ken, how is this shaping the conversations you're having with your colleagues at the El Dorado Water Agency?
Well, it's because, you know, our county is very diverse in itself, from this, the forest to the urbanized areas of El Dorado Hills. So particularly what struck my attention was the participation with the rural agricultural communities that weren't surprised with the results, because they're seeing it now. They're living it now.
Yeah, they're living through it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they used to farm up to 3,000 feet elevation, and some of the ag production. And during the last decade and a half, they've actually moved up to 3,500 feet because of the milder temperatures as they move up in the declining forest. That's a validation that really surprised me, to hear that from them, of how they were changing their patterns. And so, you know, our water purveyors in the lower areas, the urbanized areas, have already been adapting, you know, the conservation matters, the new practices, the planning for multiple dry years. So, you know, we've been preparing for this, but it is definitely a big public education piece that to make our communities understand what these changes will mean to us.
Yeah. Given that agriculture just statewide is an anchor to our economy, when you're talking to growers in your area, I mean, you just touched upon how, I mean, it's at their front door, these impacts. I guess, how could food production be impacted following this unprecedented study?
That was the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw the changes of precipitation patterns that Gary had talked about. Was the farms in the Sacramento San Joaquin Valley, because if the findings of this study, with the changes of those patterns and the temperature increases of 4 to 7 degrees up in the Sierras and the declining snowpack, that's going to be reflective up and down the Sierras, that all feed into the Sacramento and San Joaquin basins, where a large part of our state and federal agricultural production occurs. So California feeds a large portion of the nation with our produce. So.
Yeah. And we just, I led with this projection or this forecast from the Greater Sacramento Economic Council that we're just going to continue to grow as we've been growing in the past 5 years. I guess, what are going to be the biggest challenges? Because that is it seems to me a lot to shoulder in terms of balancing water supply and demand in a basin that's under strain from climate change.
Well, with regards to, in terms of water supply, flood control is a little different conversation, but with water supply, the American River Basin, we have enough water contracts and water supply. It's the physical improvements, the adaptation measures. We identified six adaptation measures to start and begin physical changes to our infrastructure to be able to adapt to this climate change. And it's going to be a long 10-15 year process to get those in place.
Well, Gary, you're with the Flood Control Agency in the Sacramento area. These warmer temperatures, and we live through this as well, it means more extreme variability of precipitation, which could increase the severity of floods coupled with drought-like conditions. I guess when it comes to these climate projections, what efforts are underway to improve flood management in the basin?
Yeah, so one of the main kind of advancements going on, not just in this region, but, you know, in the state, has been using forecasting, weather forecasting and runoff forecasts that come from the California-Nevada River Forecast Center. So there's been great advancements, and actually this culminated when the Sacramento region just completed the new spillway at Folsom. And that spillway had a new water control manual, and that water control manual actually takes in 5-day forecast to operate those facilities. We feel that we could continue to build on forecasting and be able to then know better when we need to release water in advance of a big event, or where we might be able to in the future be able to come and store more water based on that change in runoff that we're seeing. So we think that the ability to look at forecasting and runoff forecasting could be a great tool in the management of this basin.
Right, because given the projections from this study, I mean, it's projecting temperatures in the basin to increase by almost 5 degrees in the winter and just over 7 degrees in the summer by the end of the century. And this comes as, and you touched upon this, we can rely less and less on snowpack from 1 year to the next. So I would imagine these projections are even more instrumental and useful in managing water supply throughout the American River Basin.
That's correct. And I think it really, now we have a target. We know with these potential scenarios moving forward, how can a suite of adaptation strategies that have been developed, how can they actually help, respond to that challenges in the future?
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Gary Bardini from the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency and Kenneth Payne from the El Dorado Water Agency about the impacts of climate change on the American River Basin. Ken, the report outlined 6 project portfolios that could address some of these issues that we're discussing. What are these portfolios and how will they address these challenges?
Well, the portfolios were developed as an integration of six strategies of how to address it, and they all have to work together. So the first one is the Sacramento Regional Groundwater Bank. That is, we have storage potential in our groundwater that's almost the size of Folsom Lake, that we can actually store water in there and take that water from Folsom Reservoir, which is... seems like it's the largest facility in the basin, but it's the smallest storage facility in the Central Valley Project system.
Yeah, is it about 1 million acre feet?
A million acre feet. And so we're looking at using that bank to create some space in Folsom Reservoir for the flood protection aspect. So there's another project called the River Arc Project, where we would take water from the Sacramento River and use that water instead of water from the American River to be able to offset some of the demands that accommodate growth in some of the other areas that we have. Those existing water rights are already in place. It's just access to that water now. The other project is the Alder Creek Reservoir, which would be a brand new reservoir that's been around since 1916, the thought process. And this reservoir is actually up at about 5,500 feet up near Ice House Reservoir.
And Union, there's an assortment of them at that elevation,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's quite a few of them. And this one is actually in a really steep canyon. And so it's a convergence of these two granite formations that make it an ideal spot for a reservoir. And then we would hold that water to replace the snowpack melt in there. So, and that would accommodate about, give Folsom Reservoir another additional 10% capacity for flood protection and for operations to water quality concerns on preserving the salmon and the chinook salmon and the other species that we're trying to protect. And the final one is the Folsom Dam raised, combined with the groundwater banking, combined with the reservoir, would really help to provide that extra assurances we need for reservoir storage and for reclamation to maintain their operational modes that feed into the delta.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up runs of salmon because, with water infrastructure, as we've learned over the decades and talking about a new reservoir, I mean, it can be there can be criticism and concern about what does this do to the environment and to native species. So how are you going to balance those needs?
Well, particularly with Alder Reservoir, because of the deep water configuration, there's ability to store some of that cold water pool within that reservoir. And so during those summer and late summer months, when we need those cold water shots of water into the river, where we would be able to release that water down into Folsom, and then they can subsequently release it down to the lower American downstream Folsom. So that would be the plan. That would be the next step that we would look at studying and pushing that project forward.
Gary, one of the adoption strategies mentioned in the report, and it's a mouthful, it's the Watershed Forecast Informed Reservoir Operation. Can you help us visualize what that is and what it means for people living along or benefiting from the American River Basin?
Well, yeah, so that, you know, we're kind of building on the successes of taking forecasting and the operation of Folsom and now looking upstream to existing reservoirs that are currently, these reservoirs being Hellhole Reservoir, Union Valley, and French Meadows. And we think by making additional modifications like we did at Folsom at those facilities and then linking all of these reservoirs together as a single would then give us much greater flexibility in the region to some of the challenges outlined in the report. One last thing that we're trying to go further, though, is, again, that will improve management of reservoir surface water management, but to link that into groundwater management in a much more integrated way into the future, we think is also a critical element of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the study is unique in that it's a collaboration between, you know, various agencies involved in water management. I would imagine, you know, Gary, you're with the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency. Ken, you're with the El Dorado Water Agency. You two are talking regularly because, as we said, it's interconnected.
Oh, very, very much. Well, and that's where the non-federal partners, the Placer County Water Agency, El Dorado, the cities of Sacramento, Roseville, Folsom, and then we also included this regional water authority, which includes 20-something water purveyors within the region. So this planning and this communication had to be integrated. And the study, you know, in the past, we used to do studies independently, all our agencies. But this collaboration it's at a level that we really need to work together on this.
Earlier this month, given that Northern California experienced record-setting temperatures in the midst of drought, you know, I go back to a conversation I had yesterday, and this was with a wildfire ecologist. And essentially what they said was, you know, it's becoming less and less predictable, you know, even despite all the research and experience, you know, because we continue to set new records. And I understand wildfires are one component, but this is all connected to climate change. How does that strain finding the right solutions for the future that's decades away, and we don't necessarily know what that picture exactly is going to look like? Ken, I'll start with you.
Well, it really, because we start with a study on looking at the moisture content and the climate change within the watershed basin itself, and then it extends into some of the work that El Dorado Water Agency and the entities were working with the forest management, Department of Forestry, working with the regional resource conservation districts on some of the forest management activities and clearings that we're working on now. We're still working on the Calder fire cleanup right now. And, you know, the mosquito fire wasn't expected either. And so that's, you know, managing those resources. But there's this integration of all of our resources that we have never seen before on putting together these resources and planning activities to address forest management, urbanization of the barriers between urbanization and then water supply, on how to move around to create snow pillows or other areas, opportunities that we have that can supplement some of the findings of this American River Basin study.
Gary, how does that shape the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency?
Well, I think, the interagency planning and collaboration is essential. And I think the kind of efforts needed moving forward are more system-wide along the lines we just discussed. So it's extremely important that all agencies are working together, and there's no silver bullet. We will need every bullet we can generate to address the challenges moving forward.
Finally, what do you want listeners to take away from this conversation in a way where, on an individual level, we can better prepare and plan for the future? Gary, I'll start with you.
Well, I think, you know, there's a number of efforts going on. I think looking at further investments in funding from the federal and state government to implement many of our actions are going to be critical And then, as I described, the ability of the agencies working together and bringing projects to readiness will be critical.
How about you, Ken?
Well, for the communities that we work with, that we serve, a lot of that is reaching out to them to understand some of these changes that are actually occurring and how we're going to have to adapt as communities, integrated communities, for managing water, protecting our support, our forests, and also lobbying our representatives on state and levels to continue funding these programs. It's going to be necessary. None of them are small. So
yeah, and adapting as we grow, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you, Vic.
Thank you.
Gary Bardini is Director of Planning with the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency, and Kenneth Payne is General Manager of the El Dorado Water Agency, discussing the impact of climate change on the American River Basin. Still ahead, a retired University of the Pacific professor wrote a book about renowned American jazz pianist and composer Dave Brubeck, telling the social justice backstory of The Real Ambassadors, a musical which premiered 60 years ago this month. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.